Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I
think there's at least one.
I think ESPN executives are going to be hypersensitive of...
You think they are?
I think they're going to...
At this point.
I think they're going to treat this thing... Like, I also think, like, they made a conscious... We talked about last week. Hiring Shane Gillis to host the ESPYs was a decision. And that went very much against the grain. And I think they are hyper-conscious of, honestly, everyone having ESPN derangement syndrome. They have plenty to complain about. Like, I can do it all. But I also think that there's this view that they're doing a lot more than they actually are. I kind of want to set it at 0.5.
I'll take the over. I think he's going to show up. Now, if you're talking regular season or postseason, I feel like this is a postseason cameo.
It's got to be one of the ones where they're on the site.
It's going to be cool because everybody's going to feel like it's cool that we can do this now, right? So it's like an Avengers movie.
Yep.
It's like, isn't this cool that this person can now come over? Like, the Fantastic Four is now in the MCU. Isn't this cool they can be in the same movie as so-and-so? So I think we're going to see it because it's now possible. But I agree. I don't know how much they realize that people don't want as much Stephen A. because they just paid him a lot of money to give us more Stephen A. So I don't know if ESPN is, like, trying not to give us more Stephen A.
It's not that. It's that.
It's going to be Turner's choice if Stephen A. sits at that desk, right?
Correct.
Turner Sports.
Listen, they didn't yank him off any of the broadcasts.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to be hypersensitive of inserting him or inserting, like, let's forget Stephen A. Let's say McAfee, because let's be honest, they give us a healthy dose of Pat McAfee, too. Like,
Most of his stuff is within his own universe, right? It's a show or it's game day, mostly.
Yeah, but I don't think they're going to be putting McAfee on Red Zone.
Ooh, that would... But what if they need a sub one day? You know, no, because he's going to cost too much.
Come on. Hanson would...
The guy's a workhorse.
I've watched that guy with the flu get through the show.
Look, here's a Stephen A. question for you. Who does he know at the Big 12? Does Stephen A. know somebody there?
He's not who he's vouching for. That's for sure.
I always question, do you think his comments played any role in the decision? Because the Stephen A. comments about the Grizzlies made national headlines.
All right,
this was a national story that we were talking about all the time.
God's honest truth.
It goes to that perception.
I understand that. I don't think it is unreasonable to say the crime rate, the state of the city, is what cost him. I don't think that's what happened here. Like, I also think this is true. It ain't helping. Like, to me, one of those situations where I don't think the final decision, like, I don't think it factored into the decision, but it's one of those ones where it makes it a little easier to make the decision.
Right. This is something I'm sure we'll continue to be talking about for quite some time. Not just Stephen A. Smith's comments, but
But like at the end of the day, like
what could you know.
Houston's crime rate didn't seem to have a problem.
Right.
Cincinnati's didn't. Like
no, it's true. Yeah, it's for so many of these. It's that's not the main thing, but there is something. There's something there.
It's certainly not helping. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we lost another franchise. We lost a great name, but a terrible team. Let's talk about that on the list when we come back. Right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Each and every day here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, we do a little thing called The List. Let's fire it up. The Memphis Showboats. All right, so we've gotten the unauthorized speculation.
There's been unauthorized speculation Correct. Running rampant around the UFL.
Okay.
But according to the headline of from Pro Football Talk is UFL issues non-denial on relocation.
That's such a Florio move, by the way. Love yep. that. It's so good. He's so good.
He is really cooking but this time on the calendar.
Yeah, three teams in the Spring Football League, the UFL, the Birmingham, Houston, Michigan, and Memphis. Apparently, the unauthorized speculation is that those...
How many nicknames could y'all name?
From those teams?
Yep.
The Showboats.
Showboats.
Okay.
Renegade is... Well, oh, wait. Wow.
Nope.
No, that's not... Wait, which teams?
Houston, Birmingham, Michigan.
Birmingham, we're the Stallions. Michigan Panthers.
Yep, because Shea... Remember, the Ole Miss fans were hate-watching Shea.
Oh, that, and I was just watching Bates just yeah. nail
That's true.
From 70. That is... And then what was the last one there? Houston. Roughnecks.
There you go. That's three for three.
Bang.
George is a season ticket holder.
I had no chance in Houston. I did have the other two. I had no chance.
I'm a little surprised at Birmingham because they win.
Well, Birmingham.
But this was always.
It's not a big market.
Well, no, but it was when.
I mean, that's what Memphis is going to be. If Memphis loses the Grizzlies, we're just going to be Birmingham. Just for the record.
They built a new stadium.
Well, there you go.
U of M might be a little bigger than UAB.
We tore down like a section of like.
Hey, if I hurt my knee, I'm going to UAB,
and we're gonna have like.
I'm saying Memphis
really
is a city.
Nice 20-20.
If Memphis loses the Grizzlies, Memphis is Birmingham. We're closer to Birmingham than anybody thinks. All right, go ahead. That's just what it is.
Oh no! I was thinking maybe worse.
Worse than Birmingham.
Worse.
I bet per capita they got more money.
Birmingham, possibly.
Maybe.
What's Birmingham's biggest company?
It's the hospital.
The hospital?
UAB.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is the school. Yeah, so, all right, so we've got so UFL. Like, this is not surprising, right, that the Showboats didn't last very long.
Honestly, surprising when I saw they were coming back, but there's also been one key detail that has happened since they were announced to be coming back. Fred Smith has died.
Mm-hmm. Fred Smith was definitely the biggest proponent and one of the reasons Memphis had, because there's only eight.
And propping up the league in general.
Right, there's only eight UFL teams, right? Like, there's not many of these teams, so this is half the league that's switching? Isn't there only eight?
So, what they did originally was they took four USFL teams and four XFL teams and merged. They're now just getting rid of the USFL teams.
These were all four the ones from the USFL, which was the peak. You were talking about peak Memphis football. Apparently, too young to really realize, was the 1980s when the original Showboats were playing at the Liberty Bowl before a future president screwed up a league and cost us a lot there. But the so all four of these. That's the reason. It's not because you look at it. You've got two of the four. And we talked about this when we talked about the WNBA expansion. Like, how do you? What's the strategy of? Do you go to cities that have NBA teams? Do you go to cities that don't have NBA teams? But Detroit, the Michigan team played in Detroit, and Houston obviously played in Houston. So those are two teams with NFL, and then you have Memphis and Birmingham, which are in my mind
the rough. So yeah. the Panthers played in Ford Field.
Yep.
The Roughnecks, I think, played at.
They didn't play at.
I think they played at Houston, the University of Houston. So whatever.
They played at NFL
like
market.
TDECU Stadium or something like that.
Yeah.
An NFL market, which is one of the top four biggest metropolitan areas in the United States, right?
Correct.
Houston is ginormous, and it wasn't working there. I don't know what the UFL is doing and who's it for. It reminds me a lot of. I deal a lot with.
You'll never believe this.
What?
The league has a lot of private equity money.
And it feels like it, right? Because it feels like...
Yeah. When they started like hosting teams, like camps. Yeah, they cut costs at every corner, and now they're gutting it, and they're going to go try it somewhere else, and then they'll blame another market, and then they'll just sell it off what they can. The problem was...
We like football, but I mean, this is...
It's been
proven,
there's
no personality. Though, there's nothing unique about this UFL. There's not been anything to get anybody excited beyond the people saying that like you, Jeffrey, you think there should have been a different logo for the Showboats, which is Showboats.
They should have kept all of the old imaging.
Why? Is that the greatest, greatest sports team name in Memphis sports history, possibly?
I think there's only one other option, and y'all brainstorm if you think I'm wrong. The only other option, I think, is the Chicks.
And that is, you know, borderline,
we figured out the system. The system is if you name it after a particular tribe and you get the blessing,
right,
we're cool. That's how Florida State, like...
I think Showboats, technically...
Florida State incorporates, like, the Seminole tribe. Yeah, yeah. The Blackhawks incorporate the tribe. Like, that seems to be... So, as long as we could have gotten the Chickasaws, like,
right,
thumbs up, yeah.
So if that's still the case, I'm like, maybe, you know, I'm still advocating for the red person to maybe change their name back to the Chicks if it's possible. But the...
I'd be all for that.
The, but Showboats, I still think, is a better name than the Chicks because it eliminates any type of controversy that could be there.
The only problem I would say
is... It embraces your region.
I feel like
the riverboat and the Showboat.
I felt like the riverboat, like the Dixie Queen, all that I felt like was more prominent at that time. Like, it doesn't... Like, it's just docked out there now?
Well, it makes me think of Channel 5.
It just makes you think of, like, every...
Isn't it like a museum or something?
It makes
now?
Me think of, like, every every elementary school
boats
field trip.
Boats are still going down
there. Yeah, there's more barges. Not really show... Not
how
showboats.
Cool of a field trip is that now? Like,
I have fond memories of it.
The Great. Mighty Mississippi. Yeah.
But I don't think my daughter's going to have that field trip.
Maybe not. You know, when she's... running from an evil law firm people in downtown, she's not going to be able to ride the monorail either to Mud Island.
Fair point.
Yeah.
I like the Showboat's name.
Lots of different at the river.
I didn't love the firm.
When is the last time the monorail ran? Because I feel like I used it in like...
Oh, it's very recently.
I feel like when I went to Britney Spears, it worked.
Well, that's a humble brag right there.
First concert.
You rode the monorail and saw Britney Spears.
But I don't
feel
like...
That is so awesome.
The monorail closed in 2018.
So right before pandemic.
Yeah.
And I think it probably was closed for refurbishment.
I feel like when I went to Paramore in like 2008, it was not functioning.
It could have been closed that day. Yeah. I mean, it was still open and
it was
working,
like
not working.
Like the trolleys, like...
Now
I know the trolley.
Ice cream machine at McDonald's.
Yeah,
it's
McDonald's. That one just never works.
I know, but
every time you have a massive, they just don't want to. They don't want to do it.
Never works.
But who knows the reason? But like, it was the ice cream machine at McDonald's. It'd be like if McDonald's said, "We're finally
the
just,
new one. I've
we're
noticed
just not
the
doing
new
ice
one. I've noticed
anymore.
On this is if you have like the subscription car wash service. Like you'll go to half of these, and they're like, the guy just doesn't want to be doing anything. So he's just like, it's closed. Like, just throws a cone up. Like, just done.
Going to the wrong car washes, then.
That's probably true. We also ended up canceling. That also falls was a very hard subscription to cancel.
Well, so UFL, these are the cities they're going to. They're possibly the reporter. These are the reports, right? These are
pit stops.
The Boise,
these are the next cities going to.
Should the gimmick for the league be we go to a different city every year?
No. Like,
they don't really have home things anyway, and that your team just like, this year you're playing here, and then you come in, woo!
The problem is they keep acting like it's the market's fault. Y'all, the only one that works is an outlier.
Which one's working?
Works in St. Louis for one reason.
Oh.
And one reason only.
Yeah, prove.
St. Louis
prove
was
yourself.
Trying to prove, like, we're still a football town. We can have an NFL team. Like, it works there.
Oh, so it's despite Kroenke.
Right. But it's the...
Well, it's the same reason that USFL really... Part of the reason it worked, the original one back in the 80s,
right.
worked well in Memphis. It was like, we are proving ourselves. We are ready for an NFL team here. Memphis did prove themselves packing that building.
Minus building a new stadium. Keep going.
But I'm saying, attendance-wise.
Yes.
Because there's a little bit more to
100%.
That, right? There is the public perception.
Yes.
Because you can also reverse prove yourself, like when the then Oilers were playing here. You know, we had nobody would show up because
we were boycotting
it. The Memphis Knights were boycotting the NFL at that point, but that message was not getting...
there were so many Steelers fans at that game.
Put across on television.
That last home game, was nothing but terrible towels.
Okay, give me one of these have a chance to be successful. Boise, no. Columbus, no. Kentucky.
By the way, this league starts in February.
Oh, my. Wait. Is it outdoor in Columbus?
They only have one stadium in Boise.
Right.
Oh.
And then we've got, so if Orlando makes
so
sense.
So Columbus, here's what you're fighting the Columbus market for. Ohio State sports and the Blue Jackets. Here's the biggest problem. We don't actually care about spring or developmental football.
That's what Vince McMahon got right, was you have to make it feel special in a way. He decided to do the XFL, and it didn't go about the right. You didn't need wrestling announcers calling the games, and you didn't need cameras in the locker rooms for the cheerleaders or whatever. But
it was a different time.
It was a different time.
Some would say that kept the attention.
He at least made stuff different from the camera angles that we get today to a lot of stuff.
He invented the spider cam.
Right.
Vince's production team.
Yeah, somebody on his team.
Correct.
We could get out of this, though. What if this happens? What if the Showboats move to Louisville? Could we have, for the first time in history, a pro sports team leaves Memphis and goes to Louisville? We can add a little bit more heat back. We're about to play them in basketball again, right? We get a little something going
either,
on. That Louisville stole our team.
Will either city know it happened?
You've got to be wearing your Showboats jersey to that game. Because Louisville may not even get a team because they're going to
Lexington.
Lexington could end up with a team.
There's some history there, I guess. They like to steal things from Memphis.
Yeah, I mean it's all in the old Memphis wrestling territory. So now, team's still staying.
The
around.
Problem though is, what the hell was the point of taking the Showboats name and not having anything tied to it other than we took the name? The colors weren't the same.
I don't understand
there
not
was
doing
no
the colors.
Logo.
You could do that.
Like
even
that
if
was
there
the
was copyright
easiest
issue.
Layup ever.
I guess you couldn't really even use the name if there was copyright issue. So they should
there's
have been
no
able
way
to
that
use the
copyright
logo.
Still exists.
Somebody
in the end, we're getting the Grizzlies.
Well, you wouldn't have been able to use the name. Yeah.
I think this year the Grizzlies are going to finally be able to use the Vancouver throwbacks as their own, as Memphis, because I think the trademark runs out. There's no way that a trademark from 1987 still exists.
Well, I mean, I think it's possible of a way, but I do think there's a way to get the rights to it, especially considering like the league that they were in. Originally, right? One is the other was the rebooted USFL, which was the name of the league that they were. So I think you could have figured it out. But is there anything they can do? Is spring football like this latest chapter of? I mean, obviously Memphis wasn't the right fit for. We're not interested in proving ourselves to be a pro sports team. We're doing that by supporting the pro sports team
I'm stopping,
is the Grizzlies.
I think the answer is no. There's one way.
It's a TV product.
There's only,
slightly,
but that's the problem is it became a TV product, and Fox's hope was, let's make this a gambling event. Because if you watch the broadcast, heavily gambling.
Right.
And I'm not pointing the finger. The problem is the gambling companies are like, yeah, we're going to keep just hammering college basketball. We're going to do that. Like, they just never took that much of an interest on it. Like, they took action, but it never... The only way a league like this works is if the NFL gets behind it, and the NFL has zero incentive to get behind it.
It's got to be the minor leagues, which we've got college football doing
they
already.
They have the greatest minor league system of all time. It costs them $0.
Right. So it would need to be a minor league. But the XFL, if you go back to 2001 when the Maniacs.
The problem with the XFL was.
There was a lot of problems.
Well, the biggest problem with the XFL was the football was always going to be a step down because they're not NFL players. But then they threw the football together like at the 11th out. Like they were practicing like a week before their first game. And so it was even like if the football would have been a little bit better, it had a chance.
But is this something we need? I don't think we need it. I don't think we need it. And in this world of we can talk about the NFL all year long and you can talk about college football. So
I think this is what's true about football. I think we think of football as this year-round behemoth. But what actually I think is true is we can talk about football year round,
but we can't play it.
But there is the sacredness of the sports calendar. The biggest lesson for me from as a sports fan post pandemic was the calendar really matters. We have a rhythm to it. And it's like, once we get done with the Super Bowl, we've kind of moved on. All right,
it needs to be an end and then a beginning.
Correct.
And that's what seasons do. And
exactly.
No, I agree with that. I think it's hard for football to break through. And like, what is the point? Like, how good are these players? These are players who went to college, they were in the minor league system, and they were not good enough to make the pros. So here they are. So like, why do we need this? What we can gamble on so much more stuff, and it's being played on the during the calendar when things are still happening.
We can gamble on the lottery. We can gamble on something that is gambling.
Yeah, and like, and it gives you nothing. Like, at least when you had arena football, you got when you had arena football, at least you got to have a climate controlled indoor, you know, faster pace, short, you know, small field. You had something that was like a little bit different, but. Yeah, this is not necessarily an imminent error. I don't think it's surprising, and I think there's a benefit to this. I think it can just benefit to go back to what we talked about at the start of the show. Like as it will help if we can stay focused on the things, and I'm gonna say the things that matter. Not that the showboats didn't matter to some people, but like let's focus on the stuff that matters. These are distractions. The showboats. We're honestly
we gotta start identifying institutions. Like
right.
Like let's focus. Yes, I'm 100%
like,
behind
to focus
you on this.
The money, like there was money put into the showboats situation.
We need to accept the reality.
Don't get distracted. We have a we have an NBA team.
Well, and let's also acknowledge the obvious. Like, yo, we're not Scrooge McDuck. We're not doing backstrokes and cash.
We have a certain amount of money to spend.
Correct.
And we've got to
start spending more wisely.
Because quite often we talk about it from the consumer perspective, and we do talk about it from you only have a certain amount of dollars to spend. Nobody wanted to spend it to go see spring football, quote-unquote, in Memphis, because it was hot. It was hot by the time they got on the field, really. The showboat's name is cool. We had a little throwback return to that. But like Memphis, we've lost the soccer team. It's been a while since the River Kings stopped. But at least the River Kings made sense. They were playing in George. They were playing in your country down there, right?
And I would go to a lot of games.
It was some entertainment.
Yeah, but once we lost the, what was it, EHL status, once it basically became
it became super minor.
Independent hockey.
The league itself actually is what folded. It wasn't just the team. Most of the league folded.
But there's no minor league hockey here anymore. Don't need the minor league. Really, we have what do we have? You have the University of Memphis and you have the Grizzlies and you have the Redbirds.
Yeah.
And that's where our money needs to be going.
Uh-huh.
But mostly to the Grizzlies. Let's start at the top, and that's the Grizzlies and figure it out. But the showboats, we have no.
So right. Jonah,
I really like the showboats being here, and I
Jonah over the CA is reporting amid UFL rumors or unauthorized speculation. Birmingham's mayor says he has quote been assured by the league that no final decisions have been made about numerous teams for next season. Showboats are in the group along with Birmingham, Houston, and Michigan that are reportedly relocating. You know what? Go on. I don't care.
You know. There's nothing I can't stand more than a minor league team threatening to leave, right?
Yeah.
We've
already lost patience for NFL owners trying to hold cities hostages. Like, you're the UFL. Like, get out of here.
Right. What is that? Like, anyway, so how long do you think the league goes on for, I guess? Because it's tied to television in a way, but it's very bland television.
It just comes down to how
there's no stakes, and you're going to take half the league and relocate them? Who cares about these teams outside of St. Louis?
I mean, there's not going to be, like, in the end, it's going to run as long as the Rock's money people keep saying, like, we'll keep funding this. I don't see that happening very long. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, CJ Hurt joins us next right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021 and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
CJ Hurd is a Grind City Media personality. You can see him every weekday on the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurd. Follow the HBCU Huddle on Twitter, on X, at ConRadicalness. All right, CJ, I'm handing you the keys to the kingdom. What is your plan for how you would handle the University of Memphis and its athletic affiliation moving forward?
Trying to get into one of the four major conferences with a preference on getting into the two that look like the two that are actually calling the shots, running things, the two that are making almost double or paying out almost double what the other conferences are per member institution. And it's, hey, whatever we it is, not try and get into any other conference. So that's no Big East, no. Put this sport there and that sport over something else. No, I've been trying to do any of that work. Now the split is coming, and I think we're going to be surprised behind. We know that if you're not in one of those four, definitely out. But I think there'll be some in one of those four that get left out. And so about Memphis, it is, hey, oh, okay, about $2 million per school per year the next 5 years isn't enough. What would be enough? We took that up to 10. Could that work? And now I wouldn't just be talking to the Big 12. I would be talking to the ACC as well. I'd be trying to figure it out on that end also. I don't know how many more sponsors Memphis can get. I don't know what the Booster Collective can do. But if you got to pay your way to get into the Big 12 or the ACC, you do it. And if you got to pay your way to get, if you can pay your way to get into the Big Ten or SEC, you absolutely do that. So I like where their mind is right now. It's going to take some real innovative, creative thinking on the side of the Memphis Tigers. I wish they would have had this thought like 2019, 2018. Because I think an offer like this then would have absolutely got them into somebody's power conference. That's what I would do.
I think you bring up an interesting point. If they offer this in 2019, what's the curiosity to me is, okay, would Houston, Cincinnati, and UCF been able to match?
No.
That part I don't.
Would they all want to?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. It's like,
what they want to.
And then I think the other question is, in the end, what you're more worried about is getting the highest value. Like you said, whether it be $2, $3 million, whatever they were going to put in everybody's pocket every year, the bigger issue was they were so focused on what are the schools that give us the highest TV deal, which makes up, what, I don't know, 80%, I feel like, of your payout. I don't know. Because I feel like it's so tough because it's like, all right, you've done this and you've publicly been rejected. Like, do you just take the offer to the ACC? Like, do you sit there and you go, all right, maybe let's dominate here? Because what I think is true to your point, I do not think anyone is expanding until 2030. Like, I just think let me phrase it. Nobody's going to get moved up until 2030.
You got to position yourself for when that happens to be in the best spot. And that's why I do think some type of relationship with the Pac-12 is not a crazy idea. I know John Martin wrote about take football to the Pac-12 and take basketball to the Big East and offer them money. Why not save that money, invest in yourself, maybe take football only to the Pac-12 and stay in the American for everything else? Why can't they stay in the American for everything
I don't know
else?
If you could. I bet the American, because in the end, like the, you're,
then maybe you're paying less of a exit fee because you're staying, but you're just taking football. And would the American want you for
not,
that?
The American is not going to go for that.
Yeah.
What else are they
going to be leaving your
they have no basketball schools then.
And I'm going to be honest with you guys. Like, what's the point of going to the Pac-12?
To be
right?
in.
Like, that's not where they're not adding any more teams. No more teams are stepping up. No more teams are going up. It's just teams going down at this point.
Whoa.
They reached the what it yeah. is. That nobody else is going
True.
Up.
True.
And what is the ACC, if what y'all are saying, and I can understand that logic. That
no, that's just me saying
to happen from, that nothing is going to happen from a shifting up standpoint until 2030 new TV deal.
Yeah.
But if you're joining the ACC without some combination potentially of Clemson, Florida State, Miami, North Carolina, maybe a Virginia or a Virginia Tech, right? Like, what is that conference? Is that conference a moneymaker in the same sort of way?
I feel like if Memphis and Tulane are in the Pac-12, the guaranteed at large for the college football playoff every year is coming from that conference. It's just going to be a very rare case. I could not imagine another scenario where they would come from somewhere else. They would all be coming from that Pac-12 conference. You'd be in the conference, the best football conference outside of the power group. I think if you invest in yourself, the one thing I believe Memphis can do to better position themselves is to be better at football. It's something we have not done. We have not seen it happen here. But, like, what if Memphis would have made the college football playoffs last year? They could have. They were eligible for a
matter?
Spot. It was them versus
I don't
Boise.
Think that matters at all, Kevin.
You don't think a more powerful Memphis football program would matter?
Here's how that matters. A more powerful Memphis football program would theoretically mean, and it would mean, right? A good Memphis football program, a great Memphis football program would mean more eyeballs on you for during TV, which would then drive up the value of what you are as an athletic department. That's where it matters. And if you drive up the value, that's the money that you can pay out to a conference or the money that you bring in to a conference. That's where it would matter. But Memphis is just like, F that, we're going to try and buy our way in. How much money would it take for us to buy our way in? So you don't have to be good at anything to buy your way into one of these conferences.
They didn't
SMU
get in. They didn't take the deal.
SMU did it.
They were
SMU decided, hey, we're not.
Well, they used to be good.
Not good at football.
They were.
Used to be in the 80s.
They were. I watched the 30 for 30 about it.
You weren't like in the 80s. No, get that out of here. SMU said, hey, we want to get in. We're in Dallas. We're a major market. And you know what? You don't got to pay us for X amount of years. We'll do that. Rutgers is not a good football program, historically speaking. Rutgers is not a great or good athletic department.
I think you have to. I think though.
Does it
CJ,
not?
New York market gets Rutgers.
I think you have to set
money involved.
I think you have to set Rutgers aside because Rutgers is such a specific time, place, context. Like in the end, it's like, why is Rutgers in the Big Ten? The Big Ten was trying to sell a television network. They wanted to go to a market that didn't exist. They're quote unquote getting into New York. It's like, Rutgers has a case to be like the luckiest sports organization of all time. Like,
but that's how you can get in, though.
Memphis needs to move to New York.
That's how you can get it. Memphis has to find something creative. Memphis, it's not going to be, hey, we're good at basketball, we're good at football, let us in. It's going to be, hey, if you let us in, we can bring you, I don't know, 10 to 12 million per member institution. If 2 million obviously isn't enough. But Memphis can show that they can bring more than that, somewhere around 10 million per member institution into a conference, then that might get them in. That should get them in.
You don't think it would help Memphis? Memphis goes undefeated this season, beats Arkansas. If we were coming at it with the offer, with the football team was just coming off of a college football playoffs. I think last year, who was the big team Memphis played last year, Jeffrey? It was Memphis.
Florida State.
Yeah, they beat them. Yeah. But like, if you're coming off of an undefeated season where you were in the college football playoffs and you bring this offer at the same time, you don't think that is a little more. It can't hurt, though. It can't hurt to be better at football, right?
Yeah, you want to be good at everything. You want to be
best
at everything.
Football's number one.
But what is football number one? You rank them however you want to rank them. Tell me what the TV numbers are for an undefeated Memphis season. Tell me what the draw is nationally to an undefeated Memphis season. Tell me how much money that brings into the athletic department and to the football conference. And listen, we can talk about that, but that's what matters. The winning is something that you do because it's your job. You're supposed to win. You're not going to get eyeballs on your product being bad. So that's true. You're right in that regard. But simply winning is not going to get you in. The most deserving team, the best teams on the football field aren't going to get you in. It's the most profitable teams.
Sure.
And profitability is tied some to winning, but it's not exclusively tied to winning.
Well, Memphis is not going to – the TV market size is only going to go down.
I mean, think
we're
about
not going
terms.
Up
no,
in that.
No mid-major has won more than Boise.
True. Boise and tried to get in, but they didn't offer saying. $200 million in marketing funds when they tried to get in. So I know Boise was rejected, and they also made the college football playoff. So I know there's some – I just feel like that's something that Memphis could do in the meantime with some of this money, is it does not hurt to elevate your football program. And if the leader of the football program – was, say, a more celebrity coach, do you think that would matter, CJ? If Memphis had Dan Mullen or somebody at the head of the football program here in Memphis, having that celebrity, bigger name, historically relevant coach leading this program, does that add more credibility to your school?
It may very well add more credibility. I'll ask you again, what does that add from a TV dollar standpoint? Because that's what all this is coming down to, and that's why SMU is willing to forego conference money. That's why Memphis is willing to pay $2 million per member institution in the Big 12 for the next, 5 years, 6 years, whatever that was. That's it. Everything you're saying, Kevin, can be true, but if it doesn't equate to major
– if it's TV,
major influx in money with TV or in some other way that allows Memphis – to then say, hey, this is what we can bring to your conference. We can bring $10 million per school, $12 million, $13 million, $20 million per member institution to your conference, then it's all for not. It's all for it. It looks good. It sounds good. You're doing good things as an athletic department, but that won't be enough.
Well, like, then
they'll be good as an athletic department if they do those things. It just won't be enough.
It's over then, because I mean, the TV market size is not going to grow.
Well,
we are only going to get smaller as a market going forward. It's going to take some sizable, just enormous changes that even the New Madrid Fault couldn't even do itself as far as shaking things up to change our market size. Like it's going to take a lot. So we are. So should we just skip up and go to the Pac-12? Just go to the Pac-12.
Be creative. Find a way to, like, the thought process now that Memphis has shown that they have is like, oh, okay, they're willing to think outside of the box. I don't know what that looks like going, the next step of this looks like going forward. Like, how far out of the box can you go? But, like, that's good that they're showing that they are going to be able to do that, because trying to get in conventionally just isn't going to work, to your point.
This is the choice that they're going to have. If you kind of game it out, the choice is going to be, all right, are you going to go and partner up with the pack somehow, some way, or are you going to, I don't know if like what is left over from the ACC stays as the ACC, but there's going to be some teams that don't have a home. Are you going to try and say, I'd rather do that? You know, the Wakes, the Duke is actually a fascinating one to me. Like, because I'm very curious, like, what happens to Duke? But, like, what happens to, you know.
They're going
to
want the academic. Duke is the going to be the. It could be a Vanderbilt.
I mean, maybe, but, like, I mean,
but
what happens to, like, the NC.
The Big Ten already has Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Big Ten already has a Northwestern. And the Big Ten, they're so pretentious and full of themselves that they all think they're better than Duke academics.
Well, and at least the Big Ten is somewhat obvious about, like, it is very clear, like, what is driving them. It's like Fox. Well, Fox isn't all that invested in college basketball. They are heavily invested in Big Ten football.
Yeah. And this is Kevin. I once this split happens, I wonder what everything, if everything gets revalued or if it keeps its value, right? So once the Big Ten and the SEC take what they want and shut the doors to the proverbial arc, all right, well, what is the ACC valued at? What is the Pac-12 valued at? How much better is that better than being in the American? Slash, can you as Memphis then, to your point, Kevin, build your own conference? Say, be at the forefront of that. Like, hey, you guys don't have a home. Let's get seven more teams together. Let's go eight teams so that we don't have to split near as much money and see if we can't get a TV deal that'll pay us 20, 30, maybe even 40 million per institution. So, hey, Wake Forest and Georgia Tech and Boise, I guess, and I'm just throwing this out there.
Boston College. I mean, you know what I mean? Maybe NC State.
Texas Tech, Arizona State. Like, hey, which one of y'all are really profitable? Can we get seven more plus Memphis to say, okay, this is a conference. Pay us something reasonable or pay us something way more than what you've been paying us.
That could happen, even if so. Like, this is why I don't like the deal for Memphis. This idea of paying $200 million or idea of marketing funds going toward, like, the deal was bad. Like, you could get to the Big 12 and this shakeup happens in 5 years and you're just a part of that other group of people who were left behind, because you will be. Like, when there is the left-behind group, you're going to be part of the left-behind group either on this side of the fence or on the other side of the fence. And the question is, can you get over with the leftovers?
Yeah, that's the question. I'm not sure who...
Why waste $200 million
right
now?
I'm not sure who in the Big 12 is going to be asked or going to be gotten when this split happens. Like, I know when they...
Jeffrey knows.
CJ, I think the reality is SMU might be the last team that moves up.
You think they want SMU to move up?
No. I'm saying, I think we're going to look back historically.
They're the last one who went up.
When SMU... We're going to look back as...
Oh.
Everybody, when SMU made the decision to get to the ACC, they're going to be the last ones that moved up.
Okay.
I think the only movement now is down.
And you, see, that's where I am also. Unless somebody comes through with something, a deal so unique, so crazy that you'd be crazy to say no. And that's what Memphis is right now.
$200 million was pretty close.
Because
to
we were
that.
Gonna.
I know it's like
not a $2 million per school is not enough. $2 million a year per.
That's
school
a lot
is
of money.
Enough.
Just really to have a better schedule for like 3 or 4 years before everything gets blown up.
Again. All right, boys, we got to take a quick break. CJ, great to join us, buddy.
I'll at you.
CJ Hurt of Grind City Media. When we come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, let's go to our boy Thomas Castellanos. If you forgot what he said, the direct quote about Alabama earlier this year was, "They don't have Nick Saban to save them. I just don't see them stopping me." Well, today, Castellanos was asked about what he said. "We stand on what I said. I said what I said, and we stand on that. I don't mean no disrespect to none of those guys at Alabama or anything like that." Literally, you just said they don't have Nick Saban to save them. Like, how is that not the definition of disrespect? All right, boys, good show today. I want to thank CJ Hurt for joining us. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Kevin, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.